Okay, so go ahead and get started here. Again, for the past few weeks, we've been dealing with the lesson that's titled three types of visions. And again, I want to constantly remind you that it's not limited to these three. It's just that these are the three that we're dealing with. The first one we dealt with was false visions. And we use Ezekiel chapter 4, where we talked about people who have idols in their hearts, and they approach a prophet to inquire about those idols. And you see it a lot today in churches where people show up at certain services and things like that, and they're looking for a word, you know, give me a word, preacher, and things like that. And these preachers give them prophecies according to the hours that's in these people's hearts. Well, these are false visions where Yah answered that individual and also bring judgment down on the prophet who gave that false prophecy. And so those are false visions. Last week we dealt with visions of warning, and Elder, you came up with the main. What was that? The one we dealt with? It was Joseph, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we dealt with the story of Joseph, when Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted that dream. It was a dream of warning where you had the seven. Fat cows, and then the seven thin cows or sick cows, and then you had the seven healthy stalks of wheat or corn, and then you had the weak ones or the sick looking ones, and there was a warning that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. Well, if Pharaoh had not taken heed to that warning, then, you know, there were some things that could have happened throughout the whole region at the time, the whole known world at the time, because Yah gave Pharaoh a warning and then sent his man of God to interpret what that warning was. And so it's vitally important for us to pay attention to these things. We have to be aware of false visions, and then we have to be aware of false visions, and we have to take heed to warnings, to visions that warn us of things that's about to happen, okay? We have to take heed to those things, okay, and be prepared. A lot of times on visions that has to do with warnings, it's not that there's anything that we can do to prevent it. That famine was coming to that whole region where, you know, there was nothing that could be done about it, and so Yah had warned, and as a result of it, from him giving the warning and they taking heed to it, then they were able to maintain, you know, during that time of the famine. Okay, wasn't that they could prevent it? It's just that they were prepared for it. Well, even in the vein of that now, even some things that we understand concerning these last days, we understand. The so-called one world order. We understand that that's the beast of Revelation. It's also talked about in the book of Daniel in pretty good detail. And so these things are there for a warning. We take heed to these warnings. And we adjust accordingly. It's not that we can prevent them. I just thought about even Noah's flood. They couldn't prevent it. And Yah used Noah to warn people, but they wouldn't take heed to it. And so these different things that happen, we have to make sure that we're again, taking heed to these warnings and things like that. And like I had mentioned, from a perspective of balance, there are some dreams that we have, they have no significance to it, to them whatsoever, because we dream on a nightly basis. Okay? And so, you know, there's nothing that we can do. Now we're getting ready to go into the preventative vision, where Yah will give us a vision. He will give us a warning. And did I pray, y'all? Did I pray? Okay. Let me pray. Father, I will just bless your name on tonight and just thank you just for another opportunity just to get into your word. We seek wisdom and understanding as always. We acknowledge that you are the source of it all. And we bless you for it. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just deal with the definition again just to remind you. Vision is defined as to gaze at mentally. There are visions that I call open vision, where you are awake and you have visions of certain things. When I use the example as far as when I transfigured, I was driving down the road, so I was fully awake, but at the same time, I went into a gaze mentally, and when I came out of that gaze mentally, again, I was sitting in downtown Houston. And so, again, the vision is defined as to gaze at mentally, so you can have what I like to call open vision, whereby, like what I just mentioned, you are not asleep, and then her visions were, you go to sleep and you have these, you know, these visions, okay? And so we're going to deal with the third one now, the preventative vision. And we're going to look at two set of scriptures. One I'm going to use first. It's found in Acts chapter 21. It is like a form. It's like a form or a vision because I want to use it because it is something that is given as a warning. It's just that because the warning wasn't you know, taken heed, then there were some things that took place as a result of it. And it don't matter how gifted we are and things like that. Yah deal with me on a daily basis. He deal with me in detail about a lot of things. But if I don't take heed to the things that he showed me, then you know, it put me in a position where things can happen. The scripture says, but my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Okay. When we reject knowledge, although it's dealing with a specific contextual meaning in reference to our nation, but there's a concept that we can perish, or we can come to nothing. We can have things that happen to us because we don't take heed to certain warnings. And I believe if all of us would be honest, there are certain things that we were being dealt with about we need to take care of, whether that was some things that was going on with the car, or, you know, just some things that we could have done to prevent certain things. We didn't take heed to it and end up stranded on the side of the road or something like that. You know, I've been in some of those situations where, you know, I knew my ball joint was bad on that old Cutlass that I had, and I just kept messing around. You know, you hear that squeaking noise, you know, when you hear a car driving the road and squeaking, those bearings most of the time are bad on them. If they don't get them changed, the wheel's going to come off. And so mine was doing it, and I knew it. And knew all the warnings. I just kept putting it off. Well, one night I'm driving down the road, hit this dip in the road, and the tire said, well, I'm going to go this way. You know, so we have to take heed to the warnings. But we're going to look at this, Acts chapter 21, to the right of the screen. And we'll start at verse 10, I guess would be a good place to start. This is Paul here. Paul, again, you know, being a man that Yah was dealing with on a daily basis, but look at what happened to Paul. Acts chapter 21, verse 10 says, "And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he had come unto us, he took Paul's girdle." He took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. And Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Yahushua. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of Yah be done. Okay? The will of Yah be done. After those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And as you see it, you know, from that perspective, you know, when you look at it specifically in verse 14, it points out that Yah's will be done. And so it gives you the impression that it may, and that's why I just use this one, but, you know, because I just like discussing this part of it. It could have been a warning. Vision. I would more or less put first Acts 21 in the warning vision, simply because there is a perspective that's associated with it in verse 14, where it says verse 13 and 14, when Paul is basically saying, "Okay, I'm willing to die for this." You know, it was a warning, but it may not have been something that could be prevented. Especially when you look at verse 14, saying when he would not be persuaded, we see saying the will of Yah be done, which gives the impression that it was the will of Yah that he go to Jerusalem. Okay, and so that could fall in the same category as far as the warning is concerned. But one specifically that I want to deal with from a preventative measure is found in Matthew chapter 2. We'll just start at verse 1. Matthew 2, verse 1 says, "Now when Yahushua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." Elder, I want you to deal with this part about the wise men and explain the difference, and if I need to pull up another passage to help you along with it, I will.
You've dealt on this before, but basically, anytime a scripture talks about a wise man, it's not a man that's led by Yah. It's a man that uses, you know, whether that be divination or sorcery or other things to gain knowledge or understanding. Right. So I think the examples we used before was with Pharaoh. And Moses going to Pharaoh and, you know, going to Pharaoh to let, you know, Israel go. The wise men were the ones that duplicated his miracles. So whenever it says wise men, it's never a righteous man.
Right. Okay. So from that
perspective, as we read this, it'll confirm what Elder said, that when you look at wise men, you know, like I said, you see this in a lot of plays where these wise men are used, and they give you the impression that they are godly men. First of all, we'll see that these events are not the same, okay? When the shepherds were in the field, this was approximately 2 years later, this event here that we're discussing. in Matthew 2. And what makes people up, when you look at verse 1, it says, now when Yehoshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, so it's letting you know, behold something else. Okay, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And just so that you can understand it, I'm going to just pull up another scripture here. Just so you can see the difference here. To show you the difference here. Now, y'all just taking this this way. So to show you how to really slow down and rightly divide the scriptures so that you can see these things here, okay? I'm just trying to see where I want to start. I'll just start verse 1. Luke 2, verse 1 says, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, okay, his father David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, okay, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days accomplished that she should be delivered, verse 6. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds. See, we see here when we look to the right of the screen, we see wise men. Okay, then you see shepherds here. And so... So as we're looking at this, we're seeing two different time frames here. Luke 2 is talking about a different time frame than Matthew chapter 2. Okay. Now, it says, shepherd abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of Yah came upon them, and the glory of Yah shone round about them. And they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Okay? Now, to show you that this event is different, when we look at Matthew chapter 2, it says to the right, it says, now when Yehoshua was born in Bethlehem, so he's already born, of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now he's in Jerusalem, okay? But as you read some things here, they were on their way to Jerusalem. Okay, and those are just little things that you can see. They were on their way to Jerusalem. Okay, and then again, when you look at wise men, the way Elder explained it, it says wise men. It says magos, showing you the magicians. You look at the definition. It says magician, Oriental scientist, magician, sorcerer.
So when Ella was talking about the event with Pharaoh and his wise men, they did sorcery. Remember, they threw their canes down or their sticks down, and they became their rods down, and they became snakes. Well, you see, that was sorcery. So it is important for us to understand that there are certain things from a perspective of sorcery that can be done and look super and are from a supernatural or something that is not considered natural realm. These things out there, these things happen, okay? It's just that we, as the children of the Most High, have to understand that we trump any type of sorcery that's out there. So we don't have to be in fear of those type of things. Thus, when they threw their rods down in sorcery, then Moses' snake ate their snake to show that Yah's authority is more powerful than any type of sorcery. Greater than he that is in us than anything that's in this world. Greater is Christ. Christ be the spirit of Yah. Greater is Yah's spirit in us. Is greater than anything that exists in the world, whether it's sorcery, as voodoo, whether that's any form of witchcraft or any of these different things that's out there. We don't have to fear the supernatural or unnatural activities of the enemy because we have a greater source by which we operate. And that's why I'm not scared of devils and demons and these different things. You can't put nothing on me because there's something in me greater than it is that's out there. So we have to understand that, okay? And so as you see it here, wise men, it says magician, oriental science, all these different things, these rituals and things that you see people do, palm reading, all this, that's a form of sorcery, okay? They can give you factual information in some areas, but you have to understand it's witchcraft, it's sorcery. Okay. Now, again, it shows these wise men. They show up. Verse 1, Matthew chapter 2. They show up, and I'm gonna just take this off Luke 2, since we see that we now understand this is a separate event. Okay, he was a baby here. He's about 2 years old. Matthew. He was a baby in Luke, but he's about 2 years old now. Okay. And we have some time, we can go ahead and do all the research and pull it up and show that's the case. Now, I may say that in this, I'm not for sure at this point. Now, again, verse 1, Matthew 2, verse 1 says, now when Yehoshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, let me pull that back up again. I know I said it, but I want to pound it in so that you can understand. I'm about understanding. Okay. Now, again, to show you that this is different, I was looking, I found it here. In other words, I was looking for to show in scripture where he was and when he was born, okay. And then where he is now. And as you see in Luke 4, in the middle of the screen, he was born in Bethlehem. But as you see, during this event is letting you know that he was born in Bethlehem to show you that it confirms that he was born in this place. When you look in the middle of the screen, Luke 2, and then to the right of the screen, show you that he was born in Bethlehem. But the wise man came to Jerusalem.
From the east.
He came from the east to Jerusalem. Okay? So they didn't come to see Christ when he was born. He was older. He was about 2 years old. Because if they would have come to see him when he was born, they would have been in Bethlehem. It's Jerusalem.
It talks about it. You keep reading.
I know. I just wanted to show that to in scripture. He's talking about Matthew 2?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I figured it did, but I wasn't for sure. Okay, now, let's go to verse 1 again. Now, when Yehoshua was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men magicians from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star, stargazers in the east. We have seen his star, idol worshiping." They would make determinations according to the stars. Okay, there are actual things out there. You know, when we dealt with it in Genesis chapter 1, where you look at the stars and the moon and the sun, they're for seasons and signs and things like that. You can actually look at these things and determine seasons and signs and things like that. But these wise men used it for sorcery. Okay. So a lot of times you have to understand when you have these New Year's Eve events, there's sorcery going on. You have a lot of witchcraft and magic type of events going on during this time frame, because they're watching the clock, they're watching the season, they're stargazing. It's like a form of stargazing, where they're looking for signs of the seasons and things like this. So a lot of things happen around that time. Okay. And again, it says we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Okay. And when you look at the word star, it means aster. Okay. Now we understand where you get. Like a form of asterisk, okay? The star of Moloch, that star that those Jews use today, it's idolatry. That's how the true prophets of Israel know how to expose it, because we know what the symbol is, we know what that star is, and we know what they worship. They are idol worship. That's pretending to be the true nation of Israel. And so that's not the star of David. David didn't have a star. Okay? Christ didn't have a star. They used the star to make determinations about things. They said, we've seen his star. Okay? Because they know, they understand signs and seasons and things like this, and the system is no different today. Okay? Now, as we continue to verse 3 says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. But thus is written by the prophet. What did that tell us? It's in the scriptures, in the Old Testament. Okay? And let's just do it here just to see. I'll just run a cross reference and let you see it. Second Chronicles 36:14 says, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abomination of the heathen, and polluted the house of Yah which he had. No, that's not it. Here it is. Micah 5:2 said, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler of Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. It shows here that Christ would come according to his written. That's why our ancestors understood the prophecies. That's why we're to understand the prophecies today. You know, so when a person starts saying, okay, how do you know that we're in the last day? I know the prophecies that were given to the nation of Israel. I understand the prophecies of the scriptures, so I know we're in the end of days. Things are fastly
approaching because I'm able to go look at the writings of the prophets to make determination of these things. And that's how they knew. They knew that he would be born in Bethlehem. They knew all these things, so that's why they were able to tell Herod immediately. Okay. Have something?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think what Herod is doing in calling the chief priest and everything is no different than a wise man, right? So he wasn't calling the priest to say, let's do the will of God. He was looking at the signs in order to do something to try to stop that from happening.
Exactly.
That's true.
And so, you know, so just to take it within the vein of that, you think these systems don't know these prophecies? You think when you understand the prophecy, all these other things start to make sense. Why are these things being done to the true Jews to keep them off the same page with Yah? Because they read these prophecies and they know that if all Israel call on Yah, then Yah don't hear his people. So they said, well, let's keep them dumbed down, let's keep them ignorant concerning who they are, and let's keep them doing all these things that's outside the boundaries for the will of Yah in their lives, and we can delay this as long as we can. Well, they know the prophecies, they know it's going to happen, but they're like Herod, they're trying to prevent them. So they're doing these things. So they said, okay, we got some that are waking up. Let's just start to do some things and kill them. And before you know it, before it's all said and done, they're going to be sending armies after Israel because they're trying to stop the prophecies. And I'm going to say this for lack of a better way to put it, they're trying to bootleg the prophecies in the land of Israel now to the point to where it talks about our nation coming in on wings of eagles, which is a symbol of Yah's power. They go get a plane and put on it wings of eagle and then go pick up people and bring them to the land. And see, these prophecies coming to pass. No. The way Yah brought us out of Egypt, he's going to bring us out of all lands. And in order for the desert to bloom after, I think, Elder, you mentioned they have to plant trees and all this kind of stuff because they're trying to imitate the prophecies. They're doing sorcery to try to make the prophecies come to pass. But those prophecies cannot be aborted and they cannot be prevented. They're going to come to pass. They are coming to pass.
And they can't be manufactured either.
Not at all. So you can fly folks in, you can call them the true Jews, and you can say the children of Israel and the true Jews are back in their homeland. Nope, not according to the prophecy. Yah has to bring back the people, not no man. And you can't get a man and turn around and do it, and then say God's hand was on him, and that's the reason why he was able to do it. He bought the plane and got him over there. No, that is Zionism that you're seeing, okay? Which is a system that is using a specific people and got them even believing that they're the true people just to push their own agenda, okay? So they're taking advantage of this at those people's expense too, okay? So now, as we see here, verse 5 says, and they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah art not least among, and that's what I read, that's Michael 5 and 2, least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor which shall rule the people of Israel. We just read that. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. See, it's a young child now, not a baby. Okay? And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay, so you see what they're doing here is different from the event in Luke chapter 2. And being warned of God in a dream, and being warned of Yah in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. This is preventative. They departed into their own country another way. If they would have went back to Herod, Herod would have made them tell what Christ was, and would have tried to kill Christ, and probably would have killed those wise men too. They departed in another area, being warned of Yah. That's what I mean by Yah can give us warnings concerning things, and it can prevent some things from taking place. Okay. Verse 12 again, and being warned of Yah in a dream, that they should not return to Herod. And I want to encourage you, pay attention to your dreams. Don't get caught up into them when you're trying to figure out everything you dream. You know, I had a crazy dream this morning. I ain't trying to figure that out, you know. And the reason why I don't try to figure out dreams is because Yah is the only one who reveals dreams, the meaning of those dreams. And so if I have one and it's constantly on my mind, then I don't try to figure it out. I just allow Yah to give understanding of what that is, or to put somebody in my life who can give me understanding, you know. Just like Pharaoh, he had a dream. He knew it was something significant, but he couldn't interpret the dream, so Yah had to send somebody to him to interpret it, okay? That may be the same way for some of you. Some things you may understand, some things you may not. And Yah may have to send someone that he leads to, that deals with those type of things, to interpret it and tell you the meaning of those things. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, whether you do it or somebody else. You know, Yah sent somebody else to do it, just as long as it's Yah that we understand that is the interpreter of dreams. He gives the wisdom to interpret dreams, okay? Verse 12, and being warned of Yah in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of Yah appeared to Joseph in a dream. So you have two preventative dreams here. They're warning, but we're using the word warning, but they're for preventative measures, okay? And so really it goes in hand in hand with two, and the second, which is the warning vision, but also the preventative dreams too, okay? Because remember, sometimes you're warned of something, you can't stop it from happening. But then this one here, you're warned, but then it's something that will allow you to, or us to, move up on it from a preventative standpoint. Okay. Now, verse 13 says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of Yah appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. This shows proof here that our nation always fled into Egypt a lot of time when we had conflict. Egypt was like a refuge. We'd go hide out amongst those people, those Egyptians, because we looked like them in physical appearance. So Christ looked like an Egyptian. Your Egyptians are descendants of Ham, according to Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. Okay? So Christ looked like an Egyptian. That's why he was able to go hide out amongst those Egyptians. Joseph looked like an Egyptian. Joseph was a Hebrew. He looked like the Egyptians, to the point to where his brothers, when they came to Egypt to get food, they didn't even recognize their own brother. They thought he was an Egyptian. So that tells you that your Egyptians and your Israelites are the same in physical appearance. Okay? And all you got to do is go look at your ancient Egyptian statues and things like that, and you know how the ancient Egyptians look, to show you how the ancient Israelites look. Okay? We look alike in physical appearance. Now, he says, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now, we know this wasn't going to take place, but just for the sake of this lesson, if Joseph had not obeyed, it would have put the child's life in jeopardy. Yah would have probably had to send angels down to defend him. But because Joseph took heed to the warning, verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there unto the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of Yah by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. That's in the scriptures. Okay, we can go see that in the Old Testament to show that the Old Testament is a lot of it is repeating, the New Testament, a lot of it is repeating the things of the Old. Okay. Out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under. It was 2 years old. Okay, roughly around 2 years old. So he said, okay, I don't know which one is which, but I know during this time frame he had to be around 2 years old, so he started killing them all 2 years old.
Read that last part.
Okay. According to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
So when he asked them earlier how long had that star been, apparently they said 2 years, right?
Let's go back up. Of the Jews, for we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born.
I think verse 7 is what you're looking
for. Okay. Verse 7 says, Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Okay, and so basically, in a nutshell, they saw that star 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and so it didn't say it then, but when you keep reading, it's answering
right.
Basically in a nutshell. So he said 2 years based upon what they had answered
right.
His question that he asked.
Based upon that question, so that's how we know. That's how we know when we look at Luke chapter 2 and then go to Matthew chapter 2. Just these little things let us know that different things are happening. And
just to sum it up, that time frame of 2 years shows you the difference between when the wise men got there and when the shepherds got there, right?
Exactly.
So they got there 2 years later. The shepherds, the angels of the Lord came to the shepherds, you know, when he was born. And so they were there then. Then a whole 2 years later, do the wise men show up and see Jesus when he's a young child? He's still not in a manger at this point. He's two.
Right. And he's also, the shepherds didn't bring him in his name, you know. But these wise men did. Okay, so he's just seeing a difference in these events. And these are the way that we come to understand the scriptures. We pay attention to these slight differences. And we're not just reading the same thing all the time. You know, one may say something in general, and the other may give us a little bit more detail to let us know that, okay, say for instance in verse 1, yeah, we're agreeing. Matthew was saying, yeah, we're agreeing to Luke. We're agreeing that he was born in Bethlehem. But at this time when these wise men come, he's in Jerusalem. And that's how we see the subtle differences in the scripture to let us know that, you know, these things are changing. So when you see these plays, they just as false. They showing the wise men and the shepherds, all of them together, and everybody just says, look at that Jesus. Nah. That's traditional false doctrine. Okay? Now, verse verse 16 says, then Herod, when he had, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled. Wow, this had to be fulfilled. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. It's the fulfillment of that prophecy. Okay? And just to just show you here, you run cross references here, Genesis 31. Genesis 31, verse 15. So are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. When you look at this prophecy and this lamentation that's going on, it even happened during the time frame when we were captured slaves and brought over here. You're seeing a lot of repetition as far as history is concerned. Concerning us, where Deuteronomy 28 pointed out how our nation would have children and they would be taken away and things like that. And so you're seeing all these babies lost their lives, all because Herod was afraid that the king of the Jews was born, and he wanted to try to prevent that prophecy from coming to pass. And God did these things to warn Joseph, warn the wise men in order to prevent Christ from being in danger of being killed. Okay. And so these are how we understand these things. I'll go ahead and read the last portion of, if you don't have any questions, we'll go ahead and stop. Verse 19 says, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of Yah appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. Okay? We're seeing a lot of them here where we're looking at warnings again, preventative measures and things like this. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of Yah in a dream, he turned aside into the part of Galilee. See, he didn't want to go in specific areas, so he went into Galilee. Okay, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth. So now we understand how Christ ends up in Nazareth. That it might be fulfilled. This is why. But at the same time, you see these events taking place to bring about Yah's will concerning Christ. Okay, he's wanting this dream. Herod's son is now over Judea. He's reigning in Judea. So he wouldn't go up, and so Yah warns him in a dream. He goes to Galilee. He ends up in Nazareth to fulfill the prophecy again. Always fulfilling prophecy. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Okay? We'll look at just the reference of this, just to let you see it. Judges talks about it. 1 Samuel talks about it. Judges 13:5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto Yah from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. Well, this here is about Samson. Here, but it's showing you the thing from a perspective of the Nazarene. 1 Samuel chapter 1 says, she vowed a vow and said, O Yah of hosts, if thou will indeed look on my affliction and thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto Yah all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So it points out that he's called Nazarene, and so Christ was someone that I read John 1:45, says Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Yehoshua of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Okay, so he was a Nazarite. Okay, and it lets you know what Nazarites are. One of the signs of them is they don't shave their hair. No razor shall come upon his head. Okay, and so when you see these different things, it just point out how these visions, dreams, are vitally important. We need to take heed to all three, your false visions, your warning visions, and your preventative visions. We've seen examples where it is important. Y'all don't always have to, you know, slide down your pet pole and wake you up and look you eye to eye, you know, so it speak to you. You know, he can speak to you in dreams. All of us have dreams. And so take heed to these different things, and that's why he had us to deal with them. You know, since we've been covering this topic, Delana's been having them quite a bit. She's been having a lot of them. She's been telling me about them, and she's understanding them and things like that. And so some of them she don't. And so she you know, asked me about some things. And if y'all show me some things, then I'll tell her. If he don't, then I'll just say, well, he's not showing me anything. He just got to you know, seek him to understand these things yourself. Okay. And so I believe that the reason why we dealt with this is because, like I said, he's going to deal with you more and more in these areas. Take heed. You know, take heed to these things. Okay? Again, don't walk around with paranoia and you trying to look and interpret all of it. No. Just allow y'all to deal with you on what he needs you to understand and concern of. Okay? Any questions or comments? From all three, false visions, warning visions, preventative visions. Anything, we all understand all three, the false ones. Know that people will tell you things that's not true. I was talking to a brother last week, and he had said that that a preacher gave him a false vision. He was talking about this lesson a little bit. He said, a preacher gave him a false vision. He said, man, I got into so much stuff behind that vision, thinking it was from God because, you know, I thought this guy was a man of God. He said, and he gave me that false vision. I took heed to that thing. He said, before you know it, stuff was crazy. You know, so don't let everybody tell you anything. You know, try the Spirit by the Spirit, whether it be of Yah. Okay, don't let anybody tell you, I had a dream, girl, and you did this, you don't. I had a dream, man. Nope. Try the Spirit by the Spirit. Okay. Take heed to the warning. I warn you, take heed to it. Then when he give you information to prevent some things, take heed to it. Okay? All right, I'll stop there. Father, Yahweh, we bless you. We thank you for just giving us the wisdom to understand the three types of visions, the false visions, the warning visions, and the preventative visions. We just know that you have given us this lesson so that we can be prepared for you to deal with us. You always deal with us in the areas where you teach us first. And we bless you for you know, giving us the wisdom and leading, guiding us, and teaching us so that we can experience these wonderful things that's coming from you. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.
Amen.